There, I want to turn to Proverbs chapter 3 this morning. Excuse me. Proverbs chapter 3 to start us off with. We make decisions, all of us, each and every day, don't we? Amen? We make decisions every day. Some are good and others turn out bad. And every one of those decisions has consequences to some degree. And so how can we learn then to make, well, wise decisions? Amen? And more so, how can we learn to make decisions that God can bless? And that's what we want to look at a little bit together here in our discipleship studies. Because we all may know Christian lives that because of wrong decisions in their life have, whether it be in their job, in their friendships, their marriage, or their different other pursuits, whether it be education or different place to live, whatever it may have been, that decisions they made that turned out to be unwise decisions, that turned out to be decisions that did not help them move forward in the Lord's direction. And, you know, mind you, it is not just young people that need to make right decisions. Amen. We all do each and every day. You know, whether we are married and a family, whether we're, you know, young or old, whether we've been saved a year or 50 years, we need to have God's wisdom each and every day, don't we? Amen. Amen? Amen. Good. All right. I need God's wisdom anyways. And so we want to look at some principles and some lessons I believe we can learn to help us make those wise decisions. Now, some of those may be good old reminders, and you know we always need those. God knows we're forgetful people after all. And others maybe some new practical helps that'll teach us to avoid what I call the landmines of life, so to speak. You know, God has the map. He knows the one safe route. And He loves us and has given us a guidance compass, so to speak. And He wants us to trust Him with our path, with our way. And we need to trust Him that He knows where those landmines are hiding, so to speak. Because many times, something that may seem like a really good or reasonable decision at the time, well, turns out to blow up in our face in some degree, amen? And so the Lord, He can already know tomorrow from today. And that is such a wonderful truth to know because it helps us to trust Him, amen? And so that's, of course, our first point here this morning. Don't trust your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. And we read there in Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 5. Proverbs chapter 3 in verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. We need to trust, not in our own understanding. When we do that, due to our fallen nature, we very easily make wrong decisions. We need to seek the Lord and trust Him. Not just, oh yeah, well, I'm always trusting the Lord kind of a deal, but specifically, on purpose, amen? Even though as believer, of course, we have the new man, the new nature of Christ in us, that old man still many times wants to rise up and wants to deceive our heart in some form or another. Or wants us to lure us astray from God's path and follow the lusts of our flesh. Amen? And, of course, the Lord wants to protect us from that. And He warned us. I want to move over to Proverbs 28, verse 26. Proverbs 28, verse 26. Again, the book of Proverbs, especially for wisdom, I mean, you talk about relationships, you talk about finances, so many areas. The book of Proverbs gives tremendous principles and tremendous wisdom. There in Proverbs 28, verse 26, the Bible says, "He that trusteth in his own heart is a fool." Wow. "But whoso walketh wisely, he shall be delivered." And you know what? Isn't that what the world constantly tells you? Oh, just trust your heart. Follow what your heart says. Just go with your guts, right? Go with your instincts. Well, that is not a very wise way to live life. Rather, let's make sure we're directed by God, not just by some feelings or inclinations. Amen? Why? Because Jeremiah 17, verse 9 makes it very clear that our heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. And so we can so quickly deceive ourselves into all sorts of things. And God warns us, hey, you want to rather trust God's wisdom, not your own. Don't lean on your own understanding. We may think we have it all figured out, but the Lord, He really has the best path. Now, as we look in these verses there in Proverbs chapter 3, we want to ask ourselves, now, how do I practically acknowledge the Lord in all my ways? How do I do that? You know, I'm afraid sometimes as Christians, we throw out these principles all the time, or just, trust the Lord, all these little phrases. It's just like, okay, well, yeah, that's good advice, but how do I do that, amen? Ever wondered about that? I remember for years, my parents or pastors were out there always like, oh, young man, you need to walk with the Lord. Walk with the Lord. Make sure you walk with the Lord this week. I'm like, how? Where's he walking? How did I do that? and it took me years until, people took time to help me figure this out, what's walking with the Lord all about. So we want to look at this a little bit. How do we acknowledge the Lord in all our ways? Acknowledge God through prayer. That's our first point here in our study. Acknowledge God through prayer. Instead of trusting in our own understanding, we beseech the Lord for wisdom and guidance, especially in every major decision. I mean, He has promised His children, right, that we must seek His guidance, we shouldn't presume upon it, and when we seek His way, He will give us the wisdom that we need. The word acknowledge means to... let me rephrase that. The word acknowledge here is referring to involving the Lord in our decisions making, in our ways. It was interesting. It's the same word there in the Hebrew used as the word when it says that Adam knew Eve, his wife, in Genesis 4. In other words, it gives us the idea that God intimately and directly needs to be involved in that decision. It's a close relationship, amen, that we need to have with Him there. So many times, people, when we would be talking or about different things, they were like, oh, well, did you Google it? Did you Google it? Well, how about we'd rather say, did you ask God about it? Amen? Why not do that first before Googling, It's not a sin to Google things, of course. We all do it. But at the same time, why not pray about it first and ask God, amen? I mean, after all, the book of James says that, because you, ask not, right? I want to read James 1, verse 5. James chapter 1, verse 5. It says there in James 1, verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, you ever there? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, that giveth to all men liberally. That means like generously. Notice it goes on there to say there, and upbraideth not, and shall be given him. Words, God isn't grudging about it. He's not trying to play hard to get somehow with His wisdom. God's will isn't this top secret agenda that you just have to He's going to make you work real hard for it. God wants to help us.
I mean, after all, he wants us to fulfill his will probably more than we would ever want to, amen? And so he wants to help us and give us wisdom. Now, we may want to think, well, God knows everything. God already knows that I need his wisdom and his help. And, you know, of course, he'll automatically give it to me then. But that's not how it works. God's taught us in his word that he wants us to pray. He wants us to pray specifically and earnestly about the different things that we need to decide. And when we fail to consult the Lord, we ask his opinion on things, so to speak, we're bound to make unwise decisions. I want to go back to the book of Proverbs again. Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9. Who'd like to read that for us this morning, please? Proverbs chapter 16, verse 9.
But the Lord directed his path.
Yeah. Thank you. Amen. And isn't that true? You know what? We make all the plans. We figure out all the different ideas. Man devises his way. We think we this is how it's going to work. And in the end of the day, though, it's the Lord who's in control. Amen. It's the Lord who is the one who's in charge of how things turn out. Amen. Psalm 37, verse 23 and 24, give us a similar idea. I'm going to read it for you real quick here for the sake of time. Psalm 37, verse 23, the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delighteth in his way. Though he fall, he shall not be utterly cast down, for the Lord upholdeth him with his hand. See, the wonderful thing is, even when we make mistakes, even when we realize, oh, you know what, that was not a good decision, the Lord is gracious. And as we trust in him, he's always there to pick us back up. And, you know, obviously God doesn't want us to make wrong decisions. That's not part of his will. But at the same time, whenever we do in our humanity, the wonderful thing is, folks, and I could share you testimony after testimony from my or so many other Christians' lives, God is so merciful and so wonderful that even sometimes on the biggest ash heaps, the biggest dunghills, if you will, of our lives, he still can grow a beautiful flower and make something wonderful, even out of our worst mistakes at times. As we pray and as we trust in him, as we repent if we've gone a wrong way and we've gone into sin somewhere, And so God is so wonderful in that. And so why wouldn't we trust him? Why wouldn't we want to first stop for a moment and consult him first? Amen. And of course, it's so easy, though, to forget. It's so easy. Well, it worked last time. I can do it without praying, too, again this time. And God's reminding us we need to acknowledge him in all our ways. Acknowledging God, of course, we also do through consulting the Bible. Amen. May seem obvious, but you know, how much are we actually doing that? Consulting the Bible before we make decisions. If we want to make wise decisions, we must be diligent Bible students, because it is through the Bible that we know God's mind. We learn God's will, and we grow in our faith. The scripture is called the mind of Christ, the mind of God. And so if I want to know what God thinks, well, here is where I can find it. Amen. Psalm 119, verse 105. The psalmist writes, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." And so how can we practically do this, though? Well, just like anything else, just like, you know, physical exercise, just like, I don't know, learning a language or practicing a new skill, the more you do it, the more you study the Bible, the better you'll get at it. Amen? Brother, you had a question?
Psalm 119, verse 5.
105, sorry.
Sorry.
Did I misspeak maybe? That could be. Psalm 119, verse 105. Sorry about that. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. And so the more I study the Bible, and the more I seek to apply it in my decisions, usually the more effective we at least ought to get at it. Amen. And so, hey, every beginning may seem difficult. And we look at this, you know, fairly big book, and we're like, well, where do I start on this, right? Well, if you're looking for wisdom, like I said, Proverbs is a good place. Amen. I mean, really, anywhere in the Bible is not a wrong place. But, you know, and so it also helps when we're faithful to the teaching and preaching of a good Bible-preaching church. That's how we learn as well, to be more effective in understanding our Bible. And every opportunity that we have to grow in understanding and knowing God's holy word and knowing his will help us to make wiser decisions. Amen? Because think about this. God will never lead you contrary to his word. That's a guarantee. You can take that to the bank. You know, so many times I've, and I've done the same thing, to be honest. When we're in sin, when we're deceiving ourselves somehow, or, you know, somebody was, God led me to do this or that. And it's like, what do you mean? Like, he's saying this is, you shouldn't be doing this. Oh, but, you know, God, the Holy Spirit. And it is so easy for us to want to do the things that we want so badly. We're like, oh, well, you know, I got this good feeling about it, so it must be God. God will never lead me contrary to his word. Amen? And so that I can take to the bank, so to speak. Now, I want to deviate a little bit here from our study in our lesson. And because I was asking myself a little practical. How can we encourage ourselves in acknowledging God's word in our decision? How do I actually do that? And I wanted to give just a few examples of how can God's word guide and direct me to make wise decisions. And the first thing that we find is just simple direct commandments, right? God says, do this. Or he says, don't do that, right? Direct commandments. One example would be 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 3, right? For this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you should abstain from fornication. Well, there's not really much to misunderstand about that, right? God says, don't do that. Stay away from it, right? We got a whole list of short little different commandments, for example, in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 there, towards the second half of that chapter. Another very simple, clear commandment would be in James chapter 2, verse 8. The royal law according to Scripture, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, right? Which is repeated all throughout the Old and New Testament again and again. And the emphasis there is not about loving yourself, mind you. The emphasis is in loving my neighbor, right? So we want to make sure we need to understand it correctly. So just simple direct commandments. God says, I want you to do this, or I need you to stop doing that, right? And there's so many different examples of that. Then there's general principles. General principles. One example would be 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31. Whether therefore you eat or drink or whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. 1 Corinthians 10, 31. So that's a general principle that I can apply in, well, pretty much all decisions in my life, right? So I ask myself, well, would this bring glory to Lord Jesus Christ, to my Savior, who loves me and who died for me? You know, the old saying that used to be so popular for a few decades ago, what would Jesus do, right? Now, I need to know Jesus to know the answer for that, right? I need to study him from my Bible to know that. But Lord, how would this bring glory to you? You know, that'll keep me already from a lot of sins. Because quite frankly, if I can't give glory to God while I'm involved in whatever activity I'm thinking about doing, well, that is probably not something I ought to be doing, right? Whatsoever you do, do all to the glory of God. Another example of a general principle would be Romans 14, 23, for whatsoever is not of faith is sin, or James 4, 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to the good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. Again, a general principle that applies in so many different situations. I've never really liked that verse growing up. My dad would constantly use that on us, you know, because for the most part, as kids, we knew what the rules were. We knew what our parents wanted us to do, but we didn't always feel like it, right? And my dad would remind us, like, well, you know, if, well, let me quote it here. To him that knoweth to do good, it doeth it not. To him it is sin. And I'm like, oh, man, you know. Or many times, I'd be, I don't know, I'll give you just a random example here. Let's say I'd be rushing through the house, doing my thing as a kid, and the Lord would remind me of that truth, of the Bible verse. And here I'm saying, I don't know, maybe the shoes are all in disarray, or there's a mess, you know, or the dishes, you know, need to be packed away. And I'm like, well, I know it would be a good thing to do. Nobody asked me to do it, or, you know, or my parents didn't tell me, you'd have to do this now. I could just go over to my room and have fun, but I know this is a good thing to do. I see that it needs doing. The Holy Spirit reminds me, well, hey, that's a good thing to do it. Amen? I hope this helps. So we see direct commandments. We see general principles. There's so many other applications where we can learn from the Word of God in its principles. You know, a lot of people often ask, like, oh, what, you know, how do I find a godly spouse? You know, what kind of person should I be looking for example? And I remember the verses that really encouraged me, you know, in regards to a godly wife, of course, would have been Proverbs 31, or, you know, we see an example of what God sees godliness in a man in 1 Timothy 3, but so many general principles that help us. Then there's promises as well, promises, where we see in the scripture, hey, God says, if you do this, there's a blessing upon that. Well, if I want to do things that are wise, if I want to do things that God says I can bless then, that'll be something good to do, amen? And so if I have to make a choice between two different things, let's say whether it be my finances or my relationships or whatever it may be, well, let me ask you this. Or I can ask myself, hey, do I know a principle or do I know a promise in regards to this matter, right? Matthew 6, verse 33 would be an example of a promise. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Putting God first. Putting God first in my priorities, in my schedule, in my finances, well, my relationships, really anything. We see throughout the Bible the principle of putting God first. Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Amen. We see, for example, in Ephesians 6, another promise to children in the home there, right? Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment, with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. Well, oh, sorry, that's Ephesians 6, well, verses 1 to 3. If yeah, that's a good one to know for parents, amen? for all of us, really. If I mention any of these references to fast, please feel free to ask. That's Ephesians 6, verses 1 to 3. There's another promise. Joshua 1, verse 8. Joshua 1, verse 8. This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night. Why? Well, that thou mayest observe to do according to all that is written therein. Here's the promise. For then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success. So we see direct commandments to look for. We see general principles that we can apply. We see promises. And then we see just truths that God teaches us and gives us the personal application. Truths with a personal application. And those are things that are true, and yet they may look a bit differently in each and every one of our individual lives. Let me give you one example. One of my most favorite verses in the Bible is Psalm 55, verse 22. Psalm 55, verse 22. This is a good one to know. Psalm 55, 22. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved. Boy, that's a wonderful truth. Now, the fact of the matter is, your burdens may look different than the next person's or than my burdens. But the truth is the same for all of us, that whatever individual personal burdens you're carrying and that are crushing and burdening us, God encourages us, hey, why don't you cast, why don't you throw, why don't you give them away to me? God's shoulders are much bigger, amen? He can handle it, amen? Praise the Lord. And so that may look individually what exact burdens you're praying about and you're casting on the Lord, so to speak, and let him worry about it from now on, will look different in each individual's life. And yet it's the truth is the same for all of us. Another example would be Romans 13, 14. Romans 13, 14. But put you on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no provision for the flesh to fulfill the lust thereof. You know, you maybe have a weakness. You may be easily given to some temptations in a certain area, and it may be different than for the brother or sister next to you. You know, you may struggle, let's say the one person struggles with lust. The other person doesn't have much problems with that, but let's say they have a lying problem. And the next person next to them may have an anger issue or whatever sins we all struggle with, because we all do. Amen. none of us is perfect. We're all growing. And so God encourages us to not make those easy opportunities for us to give in to those sinful lusts of the flesh. And you know, I often give this example. Let's say, God set me free from alcoholism, and whenever I hear the cracking of a beer, that's still a temptation, right? Just as an example. So, and let's suppose on my way to work, I'm always driving by the strip mall where there's the liquor store or the pub in that I used to always go to, whatever it may be. And every time I'm tempted to steer in there and, you know, well, just grab one more, right? Can't be that harmful. Well, and yet God convicts me, you know, hey, I've set you free from this. I've given you the victory over this. And you know, God warns me, hey, this liquor's going to deceive you. Don't give into it. And so guess what? In order not to give my the lust of my flesh an opportunity to be constantly tempted by that, it may be helpful for me to just take a different route to work instead, so that I don't always have to drive by that, let's say, that liquor store that's tempting me, right? Just to give an application there as an example. Is another truth that really applies to all of us, Mark 16, 15. And we've thought about that truth, of course, in many different ways, especially this last month or so with our mission's emphasis. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, amen? Now that's a truth that is for all of us, and yet that there's an individual application of that truth. Ermi has different people to reach in her realm of influence than, let's say, Jordan would, or than, let's say, Linda would, or I would. And so we all have our different realm of influence. And, we all meet different people as we walk on the streets, as we're involved in our daily business, or we knock on doors, whatever it may be. And so it is those people that God has allowed us to give that opportunity to share the gospel that he wants us to bring the gospel to. Amen? And the wonderful thing is, you, for example, may reach certain individuals that you have relationships with, that you have connections with, that maybe you share a more similar background or language or culture, whatever it may be, or family background, that you can reach way better than, let's say, I ever could. And so the truth is the same for all of us. All of us ought to be witnesses of the risen Christ. All of us ought to bring the good news of salvation in Jesus to every person. And yet the application and the people that you have the opportunity to do that is going to be individual, right? So just to give a few examples like that. How does the scripture guide me? Just some examples. There's direct commandments. There's general principles. There's promises. There's truth. There's personal applications. Just in a way of a personal testimony, so many times people have asked me throughout the years, oh, you know, how do you know you're called to the ministry? Or how do you know you're called to this specific situation, whatever it may be? And the fact of the matter is there's not a quick, you know, standard answer to that because God works individually in each life. We see throughout the scripture that God worked differently with Abraham than he did with Moses, than he did with David, than he did with Peter or with Paul. Now the gospel was always the same. The Bible truths were always the same, of course. But he led them on an individual path in his will for their life. He gave them each a different task and so forth and different roles to fulfill. And yet at the same time, I think it would be wise for us to always seek to be guided by Scripture, even in those situations. And so there's verses that I could take you to where I believe God has used in my life personally to guide me in these decisions and that had that personal application. And He may not use those for your life. He'll use a verse that He has prepared for you. So, next we want to, and we'll just start in regards to that. We want to close off with our second point here. Walk in the light. Walk in the light. And so the first thing that we looked at in regards to making wise decisions is don't trust your own understanding. Trust in the Lord. And so acknowledge the Lord in prayer. Ask Him to guide you. Ask Him, Lord, is this something you want me to do? Lord, keep me from the things you don't want me to do. Amen. Protect me from unwise, foolish decisions. Don't just go with whatever your heart feels all the time. That is easily deceived. And then, of course, consult God's word, most and foremost. God will never lead you contrary to His word. But secondly, we need to walk in the light. And that's where we want to close off by reading from 1 John chapter 1, and we're out of time, and so we'll have to look more into this, Lord willing, next time. In 1 John chapter 1 and verse 5, God will have... let me rephrase that. We can't really expect for God to lead us very much if we're not willing to do what He tells us to do. If we're not willing to walk in the light, to walk in a relationship with Him. So 1 John chapter 1 verse 5 compares that with walking in darkness versus walking in God's light. It says there this in verse 5, "This then is the message which we have heard of Him and declare unto you that God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ, the Son, cleanses us from all sin." And praise the Lord for that. Amen. "If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." Praise the Lord. Amen. "If we say that we have not sinned, we make Him a liar, and His word is not in us." And so it certainly helps in knowing and being guided by the Lord when we're walking in obedience to Him, when we're walking in fellowship with Him, and we're walking in His light. Amen. So we want to look at this, Lord willing, a little bit more as we move through this lesson. But I want to close off with James chapter 4 in verse 13. And we'll reference these verses again. James 4, verse 13 down to 15. go to now, ye that say, today or tomorrow, we will go into such a city and continue there a year and buy and sell and get gain. For as ye know not what shall be on the morrow. We have no clue what the future holds. God does. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanisheth away. Just to pick a bit of quick steam, so to speak. Notice verse 15. For that you ought to say, if the Lord will, we shall live and do this or that. So again, we acknowledge the Lord in our decisions. Amen. And we pray for his wisdom and guidance. We consult his word. And Lord willing, we'll look into some more scriptural principles in regards to making wise decisions as we move along through this. And so let's close in prayer together this morning. Dear Father, we want to thank you for your word. And Lord, we ask that you would help each and every one of us. Father, we desperately need your help. We desperately need your wisdom, Lord, every day to make wise decisions in this very confusing, very complex, very, well, spiritually dark world we are called to live in as lights for you. And Lord, we pray that you would keep us and protect us, Lord, from any foolish and hurtful choices each and every day. And Lord, help us to choose your path. Help us to choose the wise choices, Lord, choices that would glorify you. And help us, Lord, to even be sensitive to you in regards to those things and to take the time to consult you and to pray to you, Lord. And we ask that you would bless our morning service now in Jesus' name. Amen. I'd like to remind those who'd like to sing in the choir group, if you want to meet for a quick practice downstairs, and we'll take a little break here. God bless.